This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Three Man Front.
Welcome back. It's hour number two of Three Man Front on this Reaction Monday. Pat Smith, Langdon Roberts, John Saber with you for the next hour. Matt McLaren, he'll come up at the top of the hour next hour, 12 noon. You'll be able to hear Nick Saban's weekly press conference from down in Tuscaloosa, kind of recap the Mississippi State game and look towards the big game. That's right, the rivalry game against the University of Tennessee coming up this weekend. Auburn's got the week off, so Brian Harsin will not be having a weekly press conference this week, but Auburn coming off the big win against the Arkansas Razorbacks. One of the big stories we've been talking about is Ed Orgeron. He's out at LSU after winning a national championship just a couple of years ago. And Vegas has already listed who the favorite is to take over for Ed Orgeron. And currently, Landrum, Lane Kiffin, the head coach of the University of Mississippi, he comes in as the most likely, according to Las Vegas, to take the job at 5-2 odds. Coming in next is Luke Fickell at 11-2, Billy Napier 7-1 odds, Jimbo Fisher, Bill O'Brien, Mark Stoops rounds out the rest of the list from Vegas.
Jimbo Fisher, really?
Jimbo Fisher is 15-2 odds. Bill O'Brien 17-2, Mark Stoops 70-2, and just for, you know, giggles here, they included Bob Stoops.
What do you?
Bob Stoops is right behind his brother Mark Stoops, according to Vegas, to get the job.
But no Mike Stoops that made that list.
No, that was the only Stoops brother that did not make the list.
What would you have to pay Jimbo? He just matches. I mean, look what he's making. I know it's not all about money. And number one, if you're LSU, are you convinced that Jimbo coming in and taking over that program is going to assure you of national championship?
Hey, and if you just like to waste money, okay, if you just want to, hey, you know, you got enough of it, you can just burn it. You want to go throw a shilling down or two. John Gruden is 100-1 odds of being named the next LSU head football coach.
With everything that they have had going on.
100-1.
Why do you throw him in there? I guess it's just to see if anybody will.
Urban Meyer's 14-1.
Probably a better chance. Yeah, I mean, Urban Meyer. Now, Urban Meyer, I'm going to talk about Coach O and stuff that was happening off the field. Well, you could point to Urban Meyer, but Urban does have national championships.
James Franklin is 19-2. Joe Brady is 10-1. Joe Brady is not leaving the NFL for LSU. He'll be a head coach next year in the NFL.
Why do you think James Franklin at that number right there?
I don't know. I'll tell you a name that I'm really shocked that he's so far down, and it's after Joe Brady, is Mel Tucker. I've been told that Mel Tucker is a serious candidate for that job. And a lot of people might say, well, you know, he doesn't really have, look at his body of work. You know, he was at Colorado for a short time. Then he's doing well at Michigan State. Here's a coach that was hired three different times, Landrum, by Nick Saban. He hired him at Michigan State, hired him at LSU, hired him at Alabama. Then he went to Georgia under Kirby Smart. This guy knows the SEC. And he's putting together a well of a season there in East Lansing, Michigan. So I think Mel Tucker is going to be a serious candidate for that job.
But there's going to be the draw to Lane Kiffin, because what have you been trying to get back to? Recreating and resurrecting what you saw in 2019 under Joe Brady. So Lane Kiffin, there's going to be that natural attraction. But like we saw against Alabama, like we saw this past weekend against Tennessee, just because you have Lane Kiffin, that doesn't mean you're going to score 50 points a game, 60 points a game. You still got to play defense. And you still have to be able to go talent for talent. Now, will he have better talent at LSU? Yes, of course. But what's the sustainability with a guy like that leading your program?
Yeah. It's I personally don't believe Lane Kiffin. I think you'll hear his name. I think that he won't even get a serious recommendation or a conversation.
If I'm Scott Woodward and you want to go with a home run hire, I think that the home run hire, honestly, would be probably James Franklin. You're going to fall in love with Luke Fickell, okay. But is there any guarantee what he's been able to do at Cincinnati in the American that he's going to come in the SEC West and it's just going to be presto?
I was unaware. First off, he's a Midwestern guy.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he's got six kids, including a pair of twins, if I'm not mistaken. He's obviously a Midwestern guy. Some people around the industry say that he is perfectly happy, especially now that Cincinnati is going to be in the Big 12, that he's okay with being in Cincinnati. And in the future, if a Notre Dame or an Ohio State job comes open, that would be a better fit for him than him going to the West Coast and coaching at USC or going down to Baton Rouge coaching at LSU.
And look, if LSU is a top five job, would you agree?
Yes.
So you're going to be able to attract more candidates than you would for some of these other jobs. But like Matt Campbell, why is his name not coming up anymore?
That's probably a pretty good reason for that, Andrew.
Yeah, isn't it funny how things change in our perception of coaches?
Well, that's why a lot of these guys have to strike while the iron's hot. I think these other names like Billy Napier, maybe Jamie Chadwell, people like that, I think they're going to be like that second tier of coaches because Scott Woodward is going to go for that, not only the home run, he's going to go for the grand slam. And so he's going to try to have those conversations, you know, with a Jimbo or with a Dabo Swinney. I firmly believe he'll call Dabo Swinney. That doesn't mean Dabo Swinney is going to take the phone call or seriously consider it, but Dabo Swinney's got a $3 million buyout. The kind of year that Dabo's had at Clemson, if he would like a fresh start, he could find himself, you know what, this might be a good opportunity for me to jump off this Clemson train, get to the SEC, and not follow Nick Saban? I mean, I've heard crazier scenarios. Again, I'm not saying that Dabo would consider it, but I think Scott Woodward will make a call.
Haven't heard Brian Kelly's name either. I mean, Brian Kelly, there were rumors when the FSU job opened up that there was a little bit of mutual interest there.
So,
and think about the restrictions and some of the things that prevent him from recruiting the way that he would like to recruit at Notre Dame if you were to give a guy like Brian Kelly the LSU recruiting base and the resources he would have. And I just wonder if there's another name out there because Scott Woodward likes to swing for the fence.
Yeah.
I mean, Chris Peterson, he's going to make that phone call just to be told no, just to check in with the guy that he hired at Washington.
I mean, if you're the AD and now it's official, I mean, and he can start working all these different angles.
Yeah.
And have these conversations with agents or people that are friends of the coaches and things of that nature. I think there will be a lot of people that's going to show interest in the job because they're going to use it as leverage to try to get a better deal with somebody else. The most interesting thing that I looked at yesterday was the term sheet for the exit of Orgeron. It's very interesting, Landrum. He is not allowed to become an employed as a head coach in the SEC for the next 18 months. Not that anybody in the SEC would want to hire Ed Orgeron, but for 18 months, he can't be a head coach. Now, notice what I said. Head coach in the SEC. He is also required to appear at least one public event each year over the next 4 years at LSU's request. And some people will be like, no, wait a second. You're firing the guy. You're giving him $17 million. Why would you want him to show up at least once a year at an event? Well, LSU's covering their bases. Prime example. Let's say they want to have a five-year anniversary of the greatest team in the history of college football, in their opinion, which was, again, the national championship with Joe Burrow. Let's say they want to honor them. They want Ed Orgeron to be able to show up and be a part of those celebrations or sell pictures or trinkets or whatever they want to do at LSU. So they want to be able to say, hey, look, if we're paying you $17 million, guess what? You're going to have a personal service contract with us. And if we want you to show up on a rubber chicken circuit for at least one time, you're going to do it and you're going to smile and do it just like he did at the press conference. I mean, a lot of people said, man, just can't believe how well that went. He got $17 million, people.
He's 60 years old.
My gosh. He's divorced. You see the things that the pictures that are out there with Ed Orgeron, he just got a boatload of cash. Would you not be happy?
Yeah, man. Why are you looking at going and coaching?
He's got
somewhere?
No more stress.
Why would, yeah. And it looked like he was relieved. He looked relieved yesterday in the press conference. And if somebody just said, hey, we're giving you 17 and a half, we're not going to fight anything, we're going to make this go peacefully, I'd be smiling too.
But for 18 months, he cannot be a head coach in the SEC. I would like to know what program in the Southeastern Conference would take a chance and hand him the keys to their university's football program.
Mississippi State might. I mean, who would you rather have? I know they've had him in the state of Mississippi, but running your program from a recruiting standpoint, would it be Mike Leach or would it be Coach O?
I think I would punt on Orgeron.
You imagine?
I think I'd be dumb with
you
that.
Imagine Coach O at Vandy?
No, I can't.
How that would go?
I can't.
But you're going to sell more tickets to any speaking events that you have Coach O there. I'm not saying he's like a glorified mascot, but people enjoy listening to Coach O. He makes people laugh. He was talking about getting a hamburger, double meat burger from Sonic yesterday.
For those that do not know about this story that Brody Miller wrote on The Athletic, in which he was talking about all the distractions once Ed Orgeron won the national championship, there was an angle, Landrum, in this story where it was talking about his dating prowess. 6 weeks after they won the national championship, he was divorced. And then from that point on, it seemed like for a guy that lived and breathed football in that job, he decided that, you know what, there are other aspects to life that I'm going to enjoy. And so I might not be at the football facility 23 out of the 24 hours. I might be like a normal human being, and I'm gonna work 8 to 10 hours in the football office building, and then I'm going to have a life outside the football building. Well, according to Brody Miller, who writes for The Athletic and covers LSU, he is quoting players saying that the fact that he would spend a lot of time with members of the opposite sex became a distraction. I'm quoting now the story. Quote, what's Coach O doing post-game or Sunday during the day? Is he laying by the pool with a lady? He was planning events other than football, end of quotes. But this is when the story really takes a turn. Quoting the story now, it created messes for him, like the time Orgeron pulled up to a woman at a gas station wearing exercise attire. Quote, hey, you look like you work out, he said, according to multiple sources. We could work out together. The woman then informed Orgeron she was married and pregnant, in which he responded, why does that matter?
Supposed to go for a jog around the lake.
Now, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on which side of the story you want to take the side of, that woman was the wife of a high-ranking LSU official.
Uh-oh.
Word of this reached the LSU Board of Supervisors, the collection of prominent LSU attorneys and business owners appointed by the governor who would make the most important decisions at LSU. And, of course, it reached LSU Athletic Director Scott Woodward.
Mm. It's not good. Imagine, though, the reports, though, of the girlfriends and their kids being at practice and him letting the kids participate? Can you imagine?
Hey, Junior wants to hit the sled. Get out of the way, guys. Junior, hit that sled. Run a post. Run a skinny post.
So if you wonder why I'm very hesitant to proclaim Lane Kiffin as a potential head coaching candidate for the LSU job, I just read you two paragraphs from a story in which LSU is trying to get away from, they're not trying to embrace.
Would have been very interesting had this happened 2 years ago. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure the official would have been like, well, we're doing pretty well.
Yeah. he did bring us championship.
I mean,
we sold a lot of merchandise.
Just work out with them once. It's not going to hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
Now that they're losing.
All right, baby, one class. You get one class with Coach O. They're at the house by
that's
the
all
lake.
We need. Yeah, that's all we need.
Just one. Just one. I'm going to take one for the program here. You go ahead. Get it done.
And so it makes sense now because we've talked about before when he went out and hired these assistant coaches, and then he admitted that he didn't really even interview them.
Yep.
What's just like, let's take a flyer on a guy and let's bring him in and let him be
what's the girlfriend's name?
Which one?
I don't apparently.
The one that the picture of him like sitting in a bed with her? Or,
yeah.
I mean, what are you talking about? I don't know.
Do you think she knew about all these other girls? What is it just like? Hey guys,
I mean, what kind of?
She's gonna be in practice today. Don't mention the other one.
What kind of luck can you have? I mean, it's bad luck. But he pulls up to a gas station. He sees an attractive woman. He wants to compliment her, and it comes to find out that, well, she's pregnant. And then he says, "Well, it really doesn't matter." Uh-oh. And it happens to be someone that's married to someone in the hierarchy of LSU.
Yeah. I'll be your Lamaze coach.
Now that is some bad luck right there, man. Bad luck.
Just so happens I'm a coach. Helping you with your breathing.
Oh, gosh. All right, well, Coach O, it was fun. It was entertaining.
So do you see my angle about the whole Lane Kiffin thing, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you got a Title IX lawsuit going on down there. You had all that mess that went on with Les Miles. You got Coach Orgeron pulling up at a gas station, hitting on a woman. I
guarantee you right now you could go to Oxford and probably find a very influential and wealthy guy that is a booster of the Ole Miss football program that doesn't like Lane Kiffin for a particular reason.
Possibly.
No, I think it's very, very possible that that's the case. But, hey, winning, sometimes it solves a lot.
It sure does.
You know, what you trade for wins.
So that's why when I see Las Vegas put Lane Kiffin as the number one most likely candidate to take over for Ed Orgeron, that's why I hit pause big time.
How about the Fennec Birmingham? The Fennec 2nd Avenue South, 16th Street, right there near Regions Field Railroad Park. It's awesome. Go and check them out beginning tomorrow. They open up at 11 a.m. You can get a great lunch, acoustic, live music, a lot of the days. And some of those are just free shows, but you can go in if you're downtown Birmingham. You get the curbside pickup, lunch to go. Go in, have a cold beer. They got two huge, huge projectors you can watch all the games on, or a variety of games. Anyways, no matter the day. And then the great menu, the wood-fired wings. You go in and get some of those Connecticut corn dogs. But they also, and this is what makes it so unique, they have the Foxhole Lounge. And they turn it up with handcrafted cocktails. It's great for date night as well. Very intimate setting there in the Foxhole Lounge where you can get a tomahawk ribeye, the diver scallops, great selection of food, and just a lot of fun. It's the Fennec Birmingham, thefennecbham.com. Check them out and tell them the guys from Three Man Front and Jocks 94.5 sent you. 800-239-WJOX. 800-239-WJOX. 834-9450. Let's go to Mark. He's in Birmingham. Mark, welcome in.
Hey, guys. It kind of made me think about when Pat was saying that about Coach O driving up to the gas station and things like that. There's...
Mark?
Because the kind of coach he is, all the programs and everything he's doing. But the reality is that it's a huge credit to him is, you know, we have our issues. That Bama has their issues just like everybody else. But we never have to deal with this kind of stuff. You know, I mean, it seems like, you know, he's just a different kind of man. You know, he's got some morals. He's got good morals. He's just a good person, you know. You never hear this kind of stuff, you know. There's always a clown that calls in after we lost last week, got a question Coach Saban or something like that. But, you know, for all the stuff, the arrows to get shot at different coaches every time they lose, you never hear of anything like this from Coach Saban. I for all of his greatness as a coach, I think he's probably a better man. And I think, you know, sometimes we ought to pay attention to that a little bit. You know, when it comes down to these times where somebody embarrasses their university, it seems like it happens every year with somebody. Coach Saban, I don't think there's ever a time that he's embarrassed any program he's worked for. And I think that's worth somebody mentioning anyway.
Absolutely. And thank you for the phone call, Mark. Well, and let's be honest, Pat. This was reported. Nobody knew about this until after... You know, these stories start leaking out after the fact, but we weren't hearing about this in 2019. We weren't hearing about it following 2020. You think just right after the national championship, these are things that were going on. And we know, and there are things that are not reported. I'm not referencing Coach Nick Saban, but other well-known football coaches around the country that maybe a defensive coordinator maybe an offensive coordinator. I mean, names that you would know where things have gone on, they just never came to light.
No. And when you win, those things do not make the light of day. But when things are going bad, there's always somebody out there that is ready to throw knives at somebody. And those things all of a sudden start being leaked to certain people. They either hold on to them or they break it at that particular time. And so now everyone feels that, you know what, Ed Orgeron is leaving. He's gone. So at this point in time, we can start talking a little bit more honestly than we did in the past.
Case in point, a week or so ago, we were all laughing, pointing, doing whatever at Urban Meyer for seemingly step out on his wife. When had that been, or had Jacksonville, if yesterday would have been their first loss, we wouldn't have heard about it.
No.
You're right.
Nope. That's a good point. How about Archetype in Homewood? I'm actually going in to see Dr. John Morgan and the staff this afternoon and get an adjustment. It's not just chiropractic care. It's total health. Cole Kublik uses them. Matt McLaren uses them. You can use them as well. It's archetype.health to learn more about it, from nutrition to maybe you just want to learn how to stay in shape. You've had some injuries in the past, and you need to figure out how you can do it, but you can't do what you used to do. Well, they're going to teach you how your body was intended to work, and they're going to be able to help you with that. Also, the altitude room. If you're a weekend warrior, you're a competitor, like to run races, it's the only one of its kind in the Southeast. It can simulate mountaintop elevations of 17,000 feet. It's Archetype in Homewood. Go archetype.health or give them a call, 205-803-1234, and make sure you tell them the guys from Jocks 94.5 sent you.
The television schedule has been announced by the Southeastern Conference. When we come back here on Three Man Front, we'll give you what time Ole Miss and Auburn is set to kick off. Of course, Bama is off that weekend, but the television schedule has been announced by the SEC. When we come back on Three Man Front, we'll tell you what that docket's going to look like. You're listening to Three Man Front on Jocks 94.5.
Three Man Front, weekdays,
right here on Jocks.
Jocks 94.5.
Three Man Front on this Monday. Pat Smith, Landrum Roberts, John Saber, Matt McLaren Show coming up at the top of the hour. Nick Saban's weekly press conference. You can hear it live as you do each and every Monday right here on Jocks 94.5. The October 30 TV docket has been announced by the Southeastern Conference. 2 o'clock, Mizzou and Vandy will be on the SEC Network. CBS has already announced that Georgia, Florida in Jacksonville, that will be a 2:30 kick on CBS. Auburn hosting Ole Miss, that will be a nighttime game at Jordan-Hare Stadium. If you're unable to make it to the game, of course, you can listen to the broadcast on Jocks 2. If you want to view it, you can catch it on ESPN. Again, 6 o'clock kickoff there. And Kentucky and Mississippi State, Landrum, that will be a 6 o'clock kick as well, but that one will be on the SEC Network.
Player of the Week honors given out by the SEC, Will Anderson of Alabama. He is your Defensive Player of the Week, Defensive Lineman of the Week, Colby Wooden, Defensive Lineman there at Auburn, helping the Tigers get the win in Fayetteville on Saturday. Get back to your phone calls, 800-239-WJOX. It is Reaction Monday. Let's go to David. He's in Gadsden. He wants to talk about Coach O. Hey, David.
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Doing well. Hope you are.
Doing great. Doing great. Hey, just a name that came to me when I first heard about this yesterday, about last night, about Coach O, and I've not heard the name mentioned last night or today anywhere. Of course, I've just now got in the car and tuned on with you guys, but in that situation, you want somebody with some experience that's maybe handled some things and been through some things. And if I was the AD, if I was Scott Woodward, my first call would be to Hugh Freeze.
Yeah, I think there's probably a
way. What?
A problem there with maybe the SEC office. I don't know if that time,
right,
that period, I think it's too soon. Still think it's too soon.
So we're going to call out the guy who secured escorts as opposed to Orgeron, who lost games and seemingly, while divorced, has gone out and just flirted with women. We're going to go after the guy that is soliciting hookers. That's the guy.
Well, now looking at Coach Freeze and hearing him and his wife both give interviews, you know, he's been through the adversity, he's lived it, he dealt with it, he owned up to it, And I always believe in giving a man a second chance.
Well, listen, I do too. It's all about forgiveness. It's all about grace. I'm with you 100% with that. But if you're the SEC office and you look at the allegations, forget about the moral
part of what happened.
Let's talk about having a university-issued cell phone in which you were able to conduct that questionable moral business that you ultimately had to answer to your wife about. Okay. So there were NCAA issues with that. So I think that's where he's not going to get very far being a head coach in the Southeastern Conference. It's because of being a state employee and having, again, a state issued cell phone in which he did those things. I think ultimately that is where he is never going to be able to be a head coach in this conference again.
You got put on probation while Hugh Freeze was there. I mean, not only the morality of it all, but you got your school, a 2-year bowl ban on your watch. That might even be the bigger issue.
Because I think everybody in this state, even with what went on with Mike Dubose, everybody was willing because again, what happens between a man and his wife and their discussions and their forgiveness, that's between them. But again, when you start involving the university and public funds and things of that nature, and you start breaking NCAA laws and policies, it's going to be very difficult for you to get a job in the Southeastern Conference. And unfortunately for Hugh Freeze, and I think he's a good football coach, but I think that ship has sailed. He will never coach in the SEC as a head coach.
I got you. I understand. One more thing. I just want to ask you a question, guys. Suppose Alabama loses another game. We lose a game, but with all the chaos, we still make the SEC championship game and we were to beat Georgia by less than a touchdown. Is a 2-loss SEC champion Alabama not better than an undefeated Cincinnati?
Well, I mean, my eyes, yes, but in the College Football Playoff Committee's eyes, I don't know.
Okay. All right, well, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I always enjoy listening to y'all. Roll Tide.
Thank you, David.
Can you imagine Scott Woodward already with the attention he has to pay to Will Wade in the basketball program?
Let's just bring in Bobby Petrino then if we're going to go after guys that stepped out.
Why not?
Let's just do that. Bring in him and then replace the basketball coach. Why don't we have Rick Pitino? That's what we're going to do.
Might as well.
It's time for your stock market update. The Dow is down just a little bit today, 12 points, currently at 35,282.67. It's brought to you by Taylor Agricola. You can call Taylor today. He's been serving the Birmingham area as a financial advisor for over 15 years, and Taylor would like to take a look at your investments, help your money accomplish what you want it to do for you. Again, call Taylor Agricola with Raymond James today at 205-874-HELP. Raymond James & Associates, member New York Stock Exchange, SIPC. Time for 5 questions prepared by Pat. This is what we call Pat Ponders. Brought to you by Alabama Roofing Professionals. Pat, have you picked out your shingles?
Yes, I've picked out my shingles. I've got some gutters situation that they're trying to work through. So, yeah, we're the progress is it's happening.
Well, Alabama Roofing Professionals would gladly come to your house. They realize that not everyone is as difficult as Pat.
I'm not difficult.
They warranty all the work that they do. They do the free roof inspections and the blow-in insulation service they offer, keeping your home energy efficient 12 months out of the year. Alabama Roofing Professionals, 205-722-ROOF or alroofpros.com.
All right, we're going to kick off this Monday with a question that so many people up on Rocky Top are talking about today. But I wanted to ask you guys, as a fan attending a game, which of the following have you been so mad that you've either done or you were tempted to do so? I'm going to give you 2 choices and be honest about it. 1, shoot double birds at the opposing team or referees that are on the field, or throw a water bottle / golf ball / mustard container onto the field.
I've shot the double bird.
So you have done that.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to tell us what team or referee that you were shooting the double bird?
Multiple. I mean, this isn't.
So this is. This
it's
is,
not something I'm proud of, but yes, I was.
So this is a systemic problem when Landrum Roberts is not attending as a member of the media.
No, this was a systemic problem when I was young and really immature and probably had indulged too much and maybe had.
Oh, please, this was a money on the game when you went up to see Justin Fields.
Yeah, this was a Jewett Soldier Field. I saw the video.
Matt Nagy, I know it.
No, it's been a long time, and I don't I don't do that anymore.
So, but did you ever throw anything on the field?
No.
Never. So you're never anything. Tempted, but no. You just shot the double birds.
But I told you, my buddy Nick, he actually threw a, it was a like a Diet Coke bottle. I guess there was no more bourbon left in it, or maybe there was just a little bit.
It was plastic.
Yeah, it was plastic, okay. But he threw it at the Central Florida Knight, which you'll appreciate.
Oh, good for him.
No, the more impressive thing is the Knight picked up the bottle.
And threw it back?
Took the sword. No, took the sword that he carries on the field, like the big plastic sword, and he hits it, like throws it up to himself, hits it back, and it hits Nick. Like the accuracy of this guy. I don't know if he played for the Central Florida baseball team, but Nick didn't think it was funny. We thought it was funny as hell.
So, man, Landrum Roberts, double birding.
I double birded. I was like 17 years old, 18. 18.
So that was the last time.
Yeah. Do it anymore. I don't let calls in a football game,
so
Pat.
At 18 is when you became mature in a football
ruined
game.
Ruined the rest of my week.
I have a hard time believing that if Landrum Roberts goes over and if the series is still going on between Atlanta and the Dodgers and there's a bad instant replay.
Oh, you might
call
get a
by the umpires. I mean, Landrum,
you might get a single bird.
I mean, Landrum.
Or actually, you know, not even sticking the finger up. You just do the.
Yeah. Okay, how about you, John? Have you ever been tempted like Landrum Roberts to act like a fool like that?
No, I'm a level-headed person. As much as when I've attended games, although usually it's in some sort of official capacity because either at the media or back when I was in college, I was in the band. So I was in some sort of official capacity, so I knew that I was representing the university. So I had to rein it in. And, yeah, there were times where I may have booed our team, but it's one thing to boo, it's another to – throw up double birds, and it's definitely another thing to throw something. I'd never do that. Neither of those, even to my own team.
So not even tempted.
No.
No. And it's easier, too, to get lost in the chaos when the entire student section is shooting double birds as well. Kind of like throwing a bottle.
You just kind of get caught up in the moment, right?
Yeah.
Like, and the only time like you're ever booing is you're down by you're down and you have a timeout left and there's 20 seconds and you're at midfield and they take a knee or something. It's like, come on, you can do something. Like, at least try that.
Mm-hmm.
That's just one of those. All right, well, I'm booing you for that. You could at least have attempted to make something of this. I'm like, nah, that's okay.
Did you at a Cardinals game? Have you ever double birded?
No, I've never done that. Now I've booed.
Have you ever shot double birds?
I don't think I have, to be honest with you.
In your life, never.
Mm-mm. Only when you're like leave the studio and you're heading out for something and you've made us mad, I've done that.
I don't care. That's fine. I just want you to admit
that's
it.
Why we
no,
do
I
it.
Really haven't.
Come on.
I know, I really haven't. Now, I will say that I've been tempted to maybe throw something on a field at a baseball game, but I've never done it.
Watching a game at home, you have never uttered an expletive.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, who has it? But that's at home.
Yeah.
That's not in the throes of
I've never broken
stadium.
A TV. Yeah. I've never thrown something that's damaged the house. I've been pissed. Yeah. But I've just.
I just didn't want you to, you know, seem like you were kind of portraying like the. Because
no.
I know how passionate you are about your Cardinals.
No, there's
I know
there's
how
no
passionate
question.
You are when there's a backdoor cover on Maction night.
You better believe
and
it.
You lose $50.
Hey, let me tell you something. You ought to hear the conversation John and I have during the UAB broadcast back and forth when all those games are on.
Yeah.
I mean, we're paying attention to the UAB game, of course. But I'm just
saying,
you know, there's a multitude of games on, and it just so happens that John and I have interests going on other platforms.
We now head to Pat for the scoreboard update. Pat?
Crickets?
Crickets?
Well, it looks like Iowa's going to drop one today.
Purdue's going to cover. How about
coming.
That? All right, question number two. Now that Coach O is on his way out, who now takes over the number one position in the SEC for the SEC head coach on the hot seat?
SEC head coach on the hot seat?
Mm-hmm. Oh. The number one position.
I would say Dan Mullen, but...
Mike Leach?
I think Mike Leach. Yeah, let's give it to Mike Leach.
So you go Mike. Mm-hmm. Mike over Dan Mullen.
Yeah. Yes.
No, it's Mullen. you kind of expected what we've seen from Mississippi State. Maybe not if you're the AD. I don't know if you're expecting SEC West championships or trips to Atlanta, but this is only what, second year? I mean, yes. I know he's not Buzz Williams, and we're giving him, you know, this 8-year extension, but you've seen some progress there. Yeah, the defense still isn't all that great, but especially when you come out and you beat A&M, I mean, it's like, okay, we can see some things here, but you knew this when you hired Mike Leach that you weren't going to get a model of consistency. But if I recall, it was Pat Smith who gave us all those stats about Dan Mullen against
4-10 against the higher echelon of the SEC.
The SEC, right. And that is inexcusable almost at any place, let alone Florida.
So,
plus Mullins, this is his fourth season there. So now we know what you are after in your fourth year. We know what you are. You're a good coach. You have the capability probably of being a great coach, but for some reason you can't get out of your way.
Yeah, the only reason I didn't go with Mullen is because of the buyout. But as I'm looking at the buyout, it says it's around $12 million. I was thinking it would have been higher for Dan. And that's the reason I didn't. With Mike Leach, I think some of the problems that, you know, for the air raid and saying, okay, it's something different, I just wonder with what you expected and what kind of numbers you thought the offense was going to put up when you hired him. And I don't see this long-term being sustainable, even being, if you want to say, middle of the pack of where Dan Mullen had Mississippi State most years. You're basically vying for that fourth spot. Man, I know that there were the exceptions, but I don't even know if Mike Leach is going to have. I don't get the feeling that there's a whole lot of love or hope for where Mike Leach could potentially take that program.
Do you think maybe his persona on the field during the game bothers people?
I think it does.
Because very rarely do you see him. Now, I know the other night he got animated one time with one of the calls. But for the most part, he's on the sideline and he's doing his thing. He's got his little cocktail napkin with his plays on it. And that's about it. And again, I've been around Mike Leach. I think he's a great guy. I think he's a really good offensive-minded coach. But you have to wonder, as a CEO in this league, if that's going to translate to wins.
Which is why I said earlier, you knew what you were getting with Leach. Even though we as the media may have been like, oh, it's going to be great to have him here in the press conferences and all that. He's a goofball. And it's fine when you're in 2008 season at Texas Tech and you're 11-2, or you're 2018 and Gardner Minshew comes out of nowhere. It's fine. Everyone's okay with that. Not unlike we've mentioned all day with Orgeron and Urban Meyer. If they're stepping out, okay, that's fine. You're winning. Who cares? But they were 4-7 last year. They're currently 3-3, which, again, overall isn't all that bad. But you knew what you were getting when you brought in Mike Leach. You were getting a goofball. So don't be mad when the goofball starts acting goofy.
Yeah, it's a good point. All right, speaking of SEC coaches, if you guys had to vote right now, who gets your vote for SEC Coach of the Year? Because a couple weeks ago, I think I asked this question, and it was Sam Pittman.
Yeah.
Well, they've lost three games in a row, so who are you voting for now?
I'm probably going to go, man. I might go Lane Kiffin.
Do you see the problem here?
Yeah. Go Lane Kiffin. Because still, with the one loss to Alabama, he's still winning football games. And now with the unknown of what lies ahead, he still has the potential to have a one loss season. So it would have to be Lane Kiffin for me.
How about you, John?
I think I'd go with Stoops in Kentucky. A lot of the same thing like you said, but less expectation was expected out of Kentucky. Right, this is right now. Now, 3 weeks from now when you ask this again, and if Kentucky has an Arkansas-like slide, then I'm sorry, I'm probably changing my answer. But right now, I think I would put Stoops slightly ahead of Kiffin.
Yeah, okay. Stoops, I mean, you can't go wrong there either.
Yeah. All right, final question. If you had to come up with a nickname for your significant other, but it had to start with the word sugar, what would it be?
Sugar britches.
That's sugar britches.
Thank you for keeping it radio and not dump worthy, because we know what you were going to say.
No.
Yes. We know you.
No.
Sugar britches.
Yeah, I'm not going to call her that in public, but it's just our little nickname.
Okay.
You're like, hey, you probably have like
sugar britches.
Hey, Pookie. I don't know.
Hey, sugar britches.
What? I don't know.
I'm just trying it out. I'm just seeing how it sounds.
Sugar britches.
Never heard that before. But okay, how about you, John?
I'd go sugar salt.
Who?
Sugar salt.
Sugar salt.
Sugar salt.
It doesn't
salt.
Sound demeaning like sugar britches or something else like that.
It's just confusing. You could be like,
that's
what? What? Salt?
Okay. I know better than to demean the significant other by calling or something like
well,
that.
What
so
if, what if she doesn't view it from you, from me, as demeaning? She's like, aw.
Aw, you call me sugar salt.
See? No, sugar britches. That's mine. Sugar salt's his.
I know.
What is yours?
Sugar babe, probably.
Sugar baby?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Weird connotation, but okay.
Okay, yeah. Sugar baby.
Yes.
Coach O, I wonder if that's what he calls Bailey Lauderdale, his girlfriend.
Baby.
29-year-old girlfriend.
Candy, you pervs. I was thinking of that, but okay. Y'all went right to that. Okay. Explains a lot.
Where did you come up with that one?
I have no idea. Some of these, they just sitting in front of my laptop and just things come to me out of nowhere.
Waiting for the fourth quarter to end so you can do your final scoreboard update and wrap up the broadcast.
I'm waiting for that 43-minute post-game show on Saturday to wrap up. Wasn't it 43 minutes?
Yeah.
John? Yeah. That's what I thought. Okay. All right. That's
just had to keep asking questions.
Yeah.
Just doing them told.
Landrum's just making sure that every angle's covered there in the postgame show.
Hey, you're the boom operator. Hey, come
on. Hey, come here. Come here, Sam. We got a question. Yeah, yeah. What did you think about that third down call in the second quarter?
Walk on that didn't even travel with the team, but just made the trip on his own. Come here. Let me ask
third
you.
Or fourth trumpet, because we want to know how it sounded over there by you.
Yeah.
Todd Merkel, get down here.
All right, that's today's Pat Ponders.
Brought to you by Alabama Roofing Professionals, 205-722-ROOF, alroofpros.com. You're going to hear from Nick Saban, Brian Harsin, and if you haven't heard Coach O, what his future looks like, you will next in Coach B.
This is Three Man Front.
Jocks 94.5, Landrum Roberts, Pat Smith, John Saber. Monday Night Football tonight, also Major League Baseball playoffs, the ALCS resume. That series tied at 1. The Red Sox taking on the Houston Astros. The Braves travel day to day, 4:08 tomorrow. Jocks 2 100.5 as they try to go up 3 games to none against the LA Dodgers. You get Charlie Morton, Walker Buehler on the bump for the Dodgers. Go ahead.
So who you want to play in the World Series? Who do you want?
Oh, come on now.
Astros, Red Sox. Who you want?
I just want to get by the Dodgers. Worry about that later.
Okay.
That's all I want. Just 2 more.
Thought you'd take the bait, but you didn't.
Two more, Breeze. Come on. It is now time for Coach Speak. It's always presented by our friends at Pat's Archery and Outdoors.
They said, what?
And they run through our like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
For one thing, their fat little girlfriends are telling them what they want to hear, which is how great you are.
You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
Damn sick and tired of getting all rebounded. 25 offensive rebounds. First time we block out, we get called for a damn block out.
And now, Pat's Archery brings you Coach Speak.
This bow season, Pat's Archery has the gear you need for a successful hunt like the Matthews V3 or the Raven and Killer Instinct crossbows. Pat's bow technicians are the best around. 40 years experience. You can trust them to get you tuned up for the season. Find all your hunting and fishing gear at Pat's. 12-month same-as cash financing. Pat's Archery and Outdoors, Highway 78 in Jasper. Humility. It's big with Nick Saban. He describes it after the game.
Humility is a great thing for all of us to have. I think sometimes when you have success, it's human nature to sometimes think you don't have to continue to do things the right way, create the right habits. You get sloppy. And then, you know, the redemption is not good, which we learned last week. So these guys have a lot of pride. There's a lot of culture, you know, in the program here that our fans, our former players, people in the organization, people at the university expect us to compete at a certain level. You know, we call it the Bama standard. So I thought we did that. We did it for 60 minutes. We didn't get relieved. We didn't relax in a game, which is this is really the first time all year that we really have done this the way we'd like to do it.
Meanwhile, Brian Harsin, after the win over Arkansas, his overall thoughts.
Overall, good team win. Some individual performances where guys did some really good jobs doing their assignments. And then just overall from the staff, everybody just focused from the week going into this game and showed up in how we played today.
Certainly did. By the way, if you missed it, Coach O doesn't know what he wants to do. He wants to spend time with his family. He wants to maybe go buy a hamburger because he's got plenty of money and maybe hang out with Bailey by the pool.
He can afford it.
Sounds like buy a boat, man.
I'm sure he already owes one. Because John didn't one time we had him on Three Man Front before, and when you were getting him on the show, wasn't he on his boat?
I believe so. Yeah.
Buy a bigger
sounds
boat.
Right.
Because I remember you talking to him off the air about.
Yeah, my parents live in Ponchatoula, and he was saying, oh yeah, he had a house there or something.
Yeah.
Pat's Archery and Outdoors, your personal protection specialist, the large selection of handguns, rifles, and optics like Leupold. 12 months, same as cash financing. Highway 78 in Jasper, Pat's Archery and Outdoors, or patsarchery.com. Matt Moscona from Baton Rouge tomorrow. Matt McLaren, he's next with the Matt McLaren Show here on Jocks 94.5.
This is Three Man Front on Jocks 94.5.